They called in John W. Campbell, Jr., the editor of the magazine. He found himself looking at two adventure story writers, and though adventure writers might be the aristocrats of the whole field and might have vast followings of their own, they were not science fiction writers. He resisted. In the first place, calling in top liners would ruin his story budget due to their word rates, and in the second place, he had his own ideas of what science fiction was. Campbell, who dominated the whole field of SF as its virtual czar until his death in 1971, was a huge man who had majored in physics at Massachusetts Institute of Technology and graduated from Duke University with a Bachelor of Sciences degree. His idea of getting a story was to have some professor or scientist write it and then doctor it up and publish it. Perhaps that is a bit unkind, but it really was what he was doing. To fill his pages, even he, who had considerable skill as a writer, was writing stories for the magazine. The top brass had to directly order Campbell to buy and to publish what we wrote for him. He was going to get people into his stories and get something going besides machines. I cannot tell you how many other writers were called in. I do not know. In all justice, it may have been Campbell himself who found them later on. But do not get the impression that Campbell was anything less than a master and a genius in his own right. Any of the stable of writers he collected during this golden age will tell you that. Campbell could listen. He could improve things. He could dream up little plot twists that were masterpieces. He well deserved the title that he gained and kept as the top editor and the dominant force that made science fiction as respectable as it became. Star Wars, the all-time box office record movie to date, exceeded only by its sequel, would never have happened if science fiction had not become as respectable as Campbell made it. More than that, Campbell played no small part in driving this society into the space age. You had to actually work with Campbell to know where he was trying to go, what his idea was of this thing called science fiction. I cannot give you any quotations from him. I can just tell you what I felt he was trying to do. In time, we became friends. Over lunches and in his office and at his home on weekends, where his wife Doña kept things smooth, talk was always of stories but also of science. To say that Campbell considered science fiction as prophecy is an oversimplification. He had very exact ideas about it. Only about a tenth of my stories were written for the fields of science fiction and fantasy. I was what they called a high-production writer, and these fields were just not big enough to take everything I could write. I gained my original reputation in other writing fields during the 8 years before the Street and Smith interview. Campbell, without saying too much about it, considered the bulk of the stories I gave him to be not science fiction but fantasy, an altogether different thing. Some of my stories he eagerly published as science fiction, among them Final Blackout. Many more, actually. I had myself somewhat of a science background, had done some pioneer work in rockets and liquid gases, but I was studying the branches of man's past knowledge at that time to see whether he had ever come up with anything valid. This, and the love of the ancient tales now called the Arabian Nights, led me to write quite a bit of fantasy. To handle this fantasy material, Campbell introduced another magazine, Unknown. As long as I was writing novels for it, it continued. But the war came, and I and others went, and I think Unknown only lasted about 40 months. Such novels were a bit hard to come by, and they were not really Campbell's strength.